Well, our message tonight is not going to be a barn burner. It's not going to be a Holy Ghost shout them down. I just felt like God had another way he wanted to go. He's already met us here during the worship time. He's met us here. Praise God. We're going to talk about Thanksgiving. I know Thanksgiving, the holiday, is a little ways away. Not far. But, you know, that's in the United States. In other countries, they don't celebrate Thanksgiving. In Canada, they celebrate their Thanksgiving in October. Because that's when their Thanksgiving is. But what is the anniversary date for our Thanksgiving? The day that Christ died on the cross. Amen. Oh, you thought I meant North America's Thanksgiving. I'm sorry. Well, first of all, we need to know where the word Thanksgiving comes from. Or it comes from a Hebrew word, Todah. You've heard Brother Phil say Todah. It means thank you. Todah comes from the Yada, but the definition here of a short definition of Toda is thanksgiving. Here it is in Hebrew. When you go to the next slide, Leviticus 7:12. Now, if you remember, go ahead and get the laser pointer. Get the laser pointer going. And let's start from over here. If for a thanksgiving he offers it, then shall he offer with a sacrifice of thanksgiving cakes, unleavened bread mixed with oil, wafers, unleavened bread anointed with oil, and fine flour. Of thanksgiving, hatodah, and a thanksgiving, todah. And you thought the United States only had, was the only one that had thanksgiving, that had all kinds of meals. They were given a recipe for their thanksgiving, but it was a thanksgiving of offering of thanksgiving to God. So when we have Thanksgiving dinner, don't forget to ask God to the table. When you're preparing the turkey or whatever you have for the main course, you're preparing all the dishes, think about that when they brought a Thanksgiving offering, which was an offering of thanks back to God, there was a preparation that had to happen. It wasn't just, oh, I feel great, I'm going to laugh and jump about. They took time. They spent time in the kitchen preparing this by prescription or recipe for how it had to be when they brought it. And everybody brought the same kind. Todah, Thanksgiving. Amen. So it's not just an American Thanksgiving. Indians and natives and pilgrims, and Thanksgiving goes all the way back, because Leviticus was all the way back in the Old Testament with Moses. Now, we celebrate a different Thanksgiving here, but the same Thanksgiving that they gave here was they were giving thanks to God for his providence on this soil and his good pleasure on this soil that he had done for them. But what about us? We're told to give thanks in Psalm 50:14. Offer to God the sacrifice of thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. So what do you think the sacrifice of thanksgiving is? Anybody? A sacrifice of thanksgiving. Our worship that we just did, our worship time where we were worshiping the Lord, that's our offering or sacrifice. The offerings and the sacrifices brought before to the priest, before the Lord, and waved at the altar or burned on the altar, those were the sacrifices of thanksgiving. I just read in Leviticus how they were to prepare their thanksgiving sacrifice. Thanksgiving offering, but we are to offer to God the sacrifice of thanksgiving. That's our worship, our time, our love, our desire, our adoration that we were singing about a little while ago. And then pay your vows to the Most High. Lord, I'll do this. Lord, if you do that, I'll do this. How many of us have said that? Lord, it's not looking good. Please help me. If you'll just do this one thing, I'll never. Those things escape our lips. And those are vows. Some people make a vow, say, God, if you do this, I will serve you the rest of my life. I'll go into the ministry. I'll do this. I'll do that. I'll be a preacher. And they better be ready to do it, even if God hadn't called them, because they made a vow before God. But what about your vows? Lord, I really need you to do this. Lord, I know I said I'd go talk to that neighbor, but I need this. And if you do, you know, if you bargain with God, you better be ready to pay up. So it's saying, first, is take care of the sacrifice of praise and worship. And then anything that escaped from your lips that you vowed to God, you better pay it. But it's not saying you better pay your sacrifice. It says offer to God your sacrifice of thanksgiving. It says anything that was a vow to pay it. So the offer of sacrifice thanksgiving is a free flowing worship from someone loving God. Okay? Colossians 1:12 says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Do we have any Jewish people in the congregation tonight? Anybody born of Jewish heritage? Brother Phil's not here. His wife, his kids, they're not here. So we don't have anybody in the congregation that was born into a Jewish heritage. We became partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light by what Christ did and us asking Christ in, because God started his plan of salvation when he clothed Adam and Eve. He started his verbal proclamation about salvation and the plan of salvation with the very first word of Torah, Barashit. It says in the beginning, but when you break it down letter by letter and you see what the letters mean, it talks about the sacrifice of the Son that would come and he'd be hung on a tree. God did not start over because Adam and Eve sinned. He knew it was going to happen in the first place, and he had relationship with them knowing they were going to sin. He breathed life into him knowing he was going to sin, knowing we would all face what we faced before he ever breathed in, before he ever said light be or light is, before he ever got to that point. He already knew that man was going to fall and it was going to cost him his Son. And it says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us. How did he qualify us? If you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. He qualified us. Those are the parameters. And if we do that, we ask Jesus into our heart according to those parameters, we are partakers of the inheritance in the saints of the saints in light, in the light. What light? Jesus. So are we thankful? Do we give thanks to God for just the fact that he said, guess what? If you do this, you get all this. Give thanks to him. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 8 says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. We're told three things here. First, to thank him. Second, to call on him, to pray, to spend time with him. And third, to tell others about the great things he's done in your life. You can't tell others about it unless you're thankful for it. You can't tell others about it unless you spend time with him to know about him. And so, this is something that all of us, I mean, yeah, this is in the Old Testament, but the Old Testament isn't dead because Christ rose. The Old Testament is there as our instruction. It was for them, but it's also for us as our instruction. And this tells us to give thanks to God. and how to do it. So thank him, spend time with him, and then you can't help but go tell others. It's the first thing on your lips. You see a couple that are dating and they spend time together and you go to ask them something about something else and all they want to tell you about is he, this, and we, this, that. I wasn't talking about that. I wanted to talk to you about this. I don't care. This is on my mind. This is the only thing I can think about right now. So spend time with God. After giving thanks to him, spend time with him. And you won't have to worry about talking about him because it'll be the only thing that's coming out of your mouth. You'll be so much in love with him that it'll just flow. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ for you. It says, in everything give thanks. Now, that one doesn't say for everything in that verse, but it says in everything. When you find yourself in the middle of something that you really don't like, you're in the middle of a mountain, you thank God that he is the mountain maker, and he's the one that's your lead, your guide, your protector. He's the one that's going to take you through. So you thank him in everything. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And I'll tell you why thanking him is in the will of God here in a little bit. Ephesians 5:20, on the other hand, says, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, is this two different verses telling you two different things and you're supposed to thank him for this and thank him in that? See, some things that you're in, you're saying, God, I know that you've got me right where I'm at. I know the enemy's screaming all around me, but you say you will protect me. You're my rear guard. You're my high tower. You're my ever-present help in time of need. And you're in the middle of something. Okay? So, thank him. We're supposed to walk around with a thankful heart. How many here are going to hell tonight? How many here are going to hell tomorrow? How many are going to hell next week or when they die? We're not. And that's just the tip of the iceberg of the free ticket out of hell. Because all the riches in Christ's glory have been given to you. And we don't thank him for it. We just say, oh, well, that's my inheritance. Thanks, Pops. We get that kind of attitude, don't we? We're supposed to be thanking him. We're supposed to speak thanks to God, not just think it or contemplate on it. We're supposed to speak it. Isaiah 12:4 says, and in that day you will say, did you hear that? In that day, you will say, that's speaking it, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his deeds among the peoples, make mention that his name is exalted. We are told to speak thanks to him. Amen. How many people say, oh, well, I just get over here in the corner and I just quietly just kind of remind him of all the things he's done for me. And all the little things that he's made promises come true. It's like you're rubbing on your Bible and the genie comes out. But are we really giving thanks? Are we really reminding ourselves that, okay, I may not like the situation I'm in, but God, you're so much bigger than this and you've got it under control. God, this is something that I'm giving back to you because I know you said that you will never leave me or forsake me. I'm making mention of your name and I'm declaring your deeds, that you are here, you are with me, and you are part of what's going on, and you said you'd be here, and I thank you that you're here. What about 2 Corinthians 4:15? For all things, for your sakes, that grace having spread through the many may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. We're going to read that again. For all things are for your sakes, that grace having spread through the many may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Our thanksgiving, our salvation and life for God is living our thanks. The fact that you ask Jesus Christ into your heart as Lord and Savior, first of all, and then that you walk out that faith, you walk it day by day, is living our thanks before God. Now, prior to this, we were talking about speaking your thanks. You also have to live it before God. We're supposed to live and grow holy because He is holy. Amen. Amen. 2 Corinthians 9:11 says, "While you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God." God's grace gives you what you need. You go along and there's something going on and you say, "Thank you, God." I'm going to tell you a story about last night. Kathy had been out doing some things. She'd been walking the day. We went and walked at a store the night before with Kelsey, and it's a big store and it's multiple levels, and we walked it, and both of us had our legs were tired. I wore cowboy boots, not thinking about the walking. She wore tennis shoes, and still, it was a lot of walking. We both found a spot to sit down, and we're sitting there, and we heard her voice, "Are you guys coming or not?" We got up, and okay, youngin', you know, we were tired. It was a long evening, a couple hours. But the time we spent together enriched us all. We laughed about it. Well, last night, Kelsey wanted Kathy to go with her to a store. Again, more walking, more shopping. And she'd spent all day at the nursing home and things, and she didn't go. She said, "What do I do?" I said, "Sit back down." And I went down to Kelsey and I asked some questions. Next thing you know, I'm going. And I went with her. And went to one store, and I'm walking, and I'm walking. I'm like, no, I was wearing tennis shoes, not boots that time. But it was enough muscle wear from the day before that I was still feeling it. Because I was reusing those same muscles in the same way. It's like, ugh. And it wasn't a bad situation, except then it was time to go to the grocery store. And one's good enough. I didn't need both of them. So we're going to the grocery store, and we're walking along. And Kelsey's ahead of me, and there's nobody in the aisle back in the dairy area. And she goes walking through. And I go walking, and I look down, and I go see something on the floor. And I go, "Well, somebody lost some money." And I picked it up, and I saw a dollar bill. Wow, somebody had to have it in their pocket and pulled it out and lost a dollar bill. And I saw one corner folded, and I opened it, and there's more than a dollar bill. I said, "Okay." One small voice told me, said, "Good, you got some money." And I said, "Kelsey, I'm going to customer service." "Where were you going?" I said, "Somebody dropped their money. Must have pulled car keys or something out of their pocket, and their money's here. Obviously, they're going to be up there going, 'Hey, I lost some money. Did anybody turn anything in?'" So I went up there, and they all looked at me, and they said, "I'm glad you turned it in, but there's nothing we can do about it. We can put it in the drawer." I said, "I thought maybe somebody up here might come up and say, 'Where's my money? I can't pay for this.'" And I said, "That's the only way I would know that somebody lost their money." She goes, "Yeah, because if we make a statement, everybody's going to raise their hands." And I said, "Well, what do you want to do?" And they said, "It's yours." I said, "Okay." So I'm going through the store, and I'm walking and pushing the cart. And I told Kelsey, I said, "My legs." And God said, "Look, I gave you some money. That means you're supposed to be here, right?" I said, "Okay, God, thank you. Thankfulness comes back out, Lord." He used it as a sign. And then as we went out the doors and we got to our car, before we even got in the car, we heard some people coming out the front doors laughing and stuff. All of a sudden one says, "Guess what? I just found $10 right here." So I don't know if somebody was going along and just dropping some Christmas cash for people or what. And I said, "Okay. All right, that's fine. They were excited they found $10, and what are they going to spend it on? And I was thanking God because he said, yeah, you were supposed to be the one being here. So, you know, your complaining's getting on my nerves. Kelsey'd walked right past it and hadn't seen it. Other people had been in the aisle. They hadn't seen it. I walked by, and it just like a flashlight or a light beam pointed out to me. Well, see, God says, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. So I started thanking God because I realized he just enriched me a little bit. He just brought a little money towards me. But it was the, I'm watching. You know, you've heard people talk about when you find a penny, it's pennies from heaven, pick it up. Someone in heaven's missing you. And I mean, it's a saying, there's a song, the whole bit. God didn't drop a penny for me. He dropped bills. And I said, thank you, Lord. Yeah. It was just a blessing to say, you gave me money. I gave you money is what he said. And it was to tell me, you're supposed to be the one here. So she got to rest, and then she got to have dinner when we got home, cooked for her and everything, didn't have to cook it. But God said, I gave you money. I don't want to hear the griping. So I got to start thanking him. Amen. God's grace gives you what you need. He increases our thankfulness because he gives us those things. God gives us, and we wonder why sometimes. You hear preachers preach, give until it hurts and God will give it back to you. You can't outgive God. And it's like, is God supposed to be a magic lottery machine? God does give, but he's given because of your heart. And he asks you to be thankful and worshipful, not just, okay, God, I gave you $20. I'm expecting a 100-fold return. Where's it at? Other times we give and say, God, how come my finances are getting so much better? Why are you, boy, you're blessing me. Thank you. He gives and he returns to us so much. Sometimes we wonder why. The reason God gives to us is that he wants to fulfill his plan, and his plan is to have a thankful people. Thanksgiving is his will. The reason that he had relationship with Adam and Eve was so he would have that relationship. That when he came around the corner, that they were there. How many of you are dog people and you come in the house and that dog is there? Hi, how you doing? And you scold the dog and it comes back going, hi, how you doing? I'm so happy you're back. Well, God doesn't want the puppy dog, but he wants the affection. He wants the adoration. He wants the thankfulness. I'm so glad you're here, God. I'm so glad that you want me in your life, God. Colossians chapter 2, starting with verse 6. I'm going to read this out of the New English Translation. Therefore, just as you received Christ as Lord, continue to live your lives in him. First is you accept and receive him as your Lord, and then you continue to live your life in him. They go hand in hand. Okay, too many people want to say, well, you've heard the gospel. That means you're saved because he did it. There's nothing you can do about it. Yeah, there is. You can choose not to live for him. You can choose not to ask him into your life as Lord and Savior, because it says it right here. As you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him. Rooted and build up in him, and firm in your faith, just as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Overflowing with thankfulness is part of our walk with God. When you've asked Jesus Christ into your life, you should be the most thankful person ever. If we were lined up down at the Missouri Department of Corrections, ready for the gas chamber or the electric chair or the lethal injection, whatever they use nowadays, I guess it's lethal injection. And that room was just around the corner. And they said, all of you take a number. And they were numbered 1 to 5. And you're all sitting there. You're looking at, I guess we got to change places because I got 1. Somebody else says, good, I got 5. Hope they run out before they get to me. The person that's 5 is thankful enough that others have to go before them. But number 1 saying, hey, what gives? And then they get ready to call the number and say, tell you what, governor just called. He's pardoned one of you. And you're all praying and shaking in your boots. And I hope it's me. I hope it's me. I hope he's really merciful. And it's all of us, but I really hope it's me. Just before we were to die for our sins, because that's what Christ did, just before the sentence could be passed on us, he stepped in and took our place. That's why we should be so thankful, because we've asked him into our heart and we received that pardon from all that we ever did or all that we ever would do. Then he goes on in verse 8, be careful not to allow anyone to captivate you through an empty, deceitful philosophy that is according to human traditions and the elemental spirits of the world and not according to Christ. It means stay out of bad teaching. Stay in good teaching. For in him all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. People say Jesus isn't God. Take him to this verse right here, Colossians 2:9. For in him all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form. Case closed. The word says it. Amen. Verse 10. And you have been filled in him who is the head over every ruler and authority. In him you also were circumcised, not however with the circumcision performed by human hands, but by the removal of the fleshly body, that is through the circumcision done by Christ. Having been buried with him in baptism, you also have been raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. There are many places where there's a and or a but. This time there's an and. It says, and even though you were dead in your transgressions and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, he nevertheless made you alive with him, having forgiven all your transgressions. Do you need anything more to be thankful for? Even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, he made us alive. He paid the price for our salvation. He paid the price for us to receive all the gifts of sozo, all the gifts of all the blessings, to be grafted into the vine, to be a part of all the blessings that Abraham's blessings, all the blessings of Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14, all the blessings, the spiritual blessings through Christ. It's Ephesians 1. Verse 14 says, he has destroyed what was against us. When you destroy something, it's not just shredding it. It's shredding it. It's burning it. It's burying it. It's pulverizing it. It's gone. It's ashes. It's destroyed. It can never be put back together. He has destroyed what was against us. A certificate of indebtedness expressed in decrees opposed to us. We had a sentence written out against us because of what the word says and what we weren't doing. We were not living according to what God's word says. We could not live holy. We could not live according to the law. We could not. Nothing we could do could do it. It was written out against us in the word saying, because of transgression, you must die. But it goes on. He has taken it away by nailing it to the cross. He has taken that certificate of transgression, that certificate of indebtedness to God's law, and nailed it to the cross. Then it says he disarming the rulers and authorities, he has made a public disgrace of them, triumphing over them by the cross. The cross, the symbol of the cross, All your sin was nailed there. All of the guilty verdict was nailed there. It was nailed there because he became sin for us. He took that penalty for us as he was nailed to that cross. Those nails did not hold him there. His love held him there. Because we read earlier that all the fullness of the deity lived in him bodily. But here, he has taken it away by nailing it to the cross. Anything that you had between you and God was gone when you said yes to Jesus. Yes. Everything. When you said yes to Jesus, it was gone. Amen. I read this earlier today or earlier this week. Thanksgiving is Trinitarian. You know what Trinitarian is? Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is the Trinity. The three in one. You can't have the wholeness of the Godhead without having all three. Amen. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that's the Trinity or Trinitarian. So Thanksgiving is Trinitarian in nature. The typical pattern of Thanksgiving in the New Testament is that God the Father is the object of Thanksgiving. God the Son is the person through whom thanksgiving flows. And God the Holy Spirit is the source of thanksgiving. Because we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. We are filled with the Holy Spirit. And it makes us alive. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us. Christ made it possible. But the Father is our source of that. Romans 1:8 says, and this is where Paul models this in Romans 1:8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. I thank my God for all of you through Jesus Christ. Okay? Then he also modeled it in Colossians 3. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God the Father through him. See, God has a plan, and when he has a plan for something, he has it wrapped up so tight in so many different directions. You think, oh, I'll just go find the word thankfulness and thanksgiving, and there's a couple psalms about it. It's from the beginning of Genesis 1 to the end of Revelation that the message of God of salvation is thanksgiving from us to him. Are we thankful enough of what he's done for us, that we're offering him verbal, visual, praise, worship, thanksgiving, sacrifice of praise. Amen? We're going to do something just a little different here, and that is, I'm going to ask each of you, I know you aren't mic'd up, so we'll may have to trim this part out. Those of you online, I want you to think about this. On your own. I want each of you to think right now about what you are thankful for to God in your life from the time you were born until now. Just one thing that just stands out in your heart and life that you're so thankful to God for. If you had to put them in a bucket, it'd be the biggest thing in the bucket that you're thankful for to God. And then I'm going to ask whoever wants to start just to share what you're thankful for. Good.
My daughter Sherry and her spirit of love of God, how it shines through her.
Amen.
I'm just so thankful for that. She's
Amen. Her daughter Sherry and her thankfulness, her spirit. Anybody?
Yeah.
Praise God. Yeah. Anybody else?
I'm thankful for God calling me early in my life. And I'm thankful for a lot of things. But I'm thankful for my children. I've got three daughters that take good care of me. And just love that. And I'm thankful for their husbands. So take care of each other.
Anybody else?
I'm thankful that he's never given up on me. That even when I read some of the scriptures, I think, oh yeah, that's me. I mean, Paul said he was the chief of sinners, and then there's another. I was at war with you.
Yes.
Reshaping me and reshaping me. And I could thank him for my daughter and for my mom and my sister, or two or three. And, you know, I could thank him for all those things. But the one thing that's through my entire life, from when I was little itty bitty all the way up till now, I can look at that thread that he never ever abandoned me. Even when I thought I was all by myself, I can look back and I can see how
yes,
always at every juncture was there and working toward bringing me to where I'm at now and taking me on the rest of the way. I mean, I think about that and I go, wow, the little things he's done through the years where I went through a period of time when every birthday he gave me something. One year it was a scripture that he says, I did this just for you, you know, that this scripture is for you today. And another day it was a sunrise, and this is just for you. It just, the love he has for us.
Amen.
I'm just so grateful.
And amen.
Just amazed by it.
Amen. Pastor Kathy, anything?
Yes. I'm thankful for my salvation.
Amen.
I'm thankful for a husband that loves me unconditionally.
Amen.
Oh.
Crossed our paths.
Amen.
I'm thankful for my family.
Amen.
There's a lot to be thankful for. I could go through my path, my Derek. I can go through talking about my wife and everything. See, the call of God on my life has taken me through so many of these areas. Mm-hmm. When I was a Boy Scout down there at that camp, that I came up and met you and your family, and we didn't know who it was, and it wasn't a formal meeting. It was just bystanders together at the same spot. Nobody else around, just us. One of the Sundays down there, I preached at summer camp, at Boy Scout camp. I was allowed to preach a sermon, and the preacher cut it off when I got ready to give the altar call. He goes, I'm afraid you're going to give an altar call or something. I thought, well, don't you? So my call has been for years. But the call is not separate from who I have been, or who I am, or who God's brought into my life to help mold and shape me into who he wants. See, the people in your life are the ones that push and prod and bump against, and you become who you are because of the people in your life. Everyone here mentioned something about the people, even if it's I could, but. And see, some were talking about their daughters, their family, and who they are. You know, the blessing you're having from those children serving the Lord and being such a good spirit, sweet spirit, is because of what's in you, because you were their model. And so as you're giving thanks to God for them, God's saying, yeah, and that's why I put it in you, and that's why I entrusted them to you, is so that they would be that kind of a blessing. So I'm thankful for the ministry and what God's done and started here in this church, in this body, for this moment and this time. Because I'm firmly believing that these seats are going to be filled. We're going to need to get more seats to fill this out. And then we're going to cut through that wall and start paying for that building and move it on out. And then we're going to move to another building. And this is going to be something that they can use for youth and for other things like that. And because we're going to need the other building. This is going to be our overflow for other things, so we can send second service or kids service or something. See, God's not finished with how he's done this. He's only started. I'm thankful for the beginnings. And each one of you play a part in that. Amen. So as we go through this Thanksgiving season, remember, Thanksgiving never ends. We may only serve turkey or ham or duck or deer or whatever somebody serves in their Thanksgiving meals and their traditions. Some chicken. Some people don't like turkey. Some people don't like ham. Some people won't eat ham. That's okay. But remember, there is no day on the calendar that says Thanksgiving to the Christian, because it's every day. His will for us, I'm going to find this again, but his will for us, for all things, are for our sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. That's 2 Corinthians 4:15. That thanksgiving may abound to the glory of God. How does that happen? From the lips and the hearts and the lives of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Amen? Amen. Mom, would you close us in prayer tonight? Yes, Lord.
We're thankful for you. We're thankful for loving us. And
yes, Lord.
Us into this great salvation. We just ask prayer for everyone, those that have requested prayer, Lord, and those that are sick. Just touch their lives today, Lord, and give them peace. And give them this
yes. Yes.
Go back to our home and be thankful this week. In Jesus' name, I pray this.
Amen. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, I come against all of this that she is experiencing. By his stripes, you were healed. Amen. As you go, as we play the Berakit Kohanim, the priestly blessing, the Lord bless you and keep you. He doesn't let, no one can take you out of his hand. The Lord make his face shine upon you. He is happy with you. Just like you hold up that little child, you go, oh, isn't it so darling? He's doing that for you. And be gracious to you. Lift up his face towards you and give you shalom. Give you peace. Nothing lacking, nothing missing, nothing broken. Go ahead.
Yeverich karadonai veishmurecha. Yaradonai panav elecha vechunecha. Yesa. Adonai panav elecha v'sham lecha Shalom. The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his face towards you and the Lord give you peace. Shalom, shalom.
Amen. Go with God, go in peace. And since you're going to be going out of town, traveling mercies, Psalm 26:1. I've trusted in the Lord with mine integrity, therefore I shall not slide.